Today we're going to be continuing in the End Time Prophetic Events series. I don't know, this is probably part 9 or part 10 or somewhere. We've been on this series for a while, but it's a powerful series. And you know what I've been getting as I'm studying and preparing for this? The seriousness of this message series. It's some serious stuff, guys. It's serious. I'm just, last night, that was a serious event.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. These are some interesting times that we're living in right now. And God's watching everything that's going on. But last night was a great night for God. His kingdom was advanced. But anyway, these are serious times that we're living in. Y'all know that. Y'all know that. That's nothing new to you guys. But each of the end time events that are prophesied in Scripture, they're going to take place. And there's nothing you or I can do to stop them. They're going to take place. That's why we're looking at those end time events. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for bringing us up higher in the things of your word. Lord, we give you praise. We honor you. You are worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all, Lord God. We thank and we give you praise. As we study these end time events, Father God, I thank you for revelation as we go through your word. I thank you, Father, for hearts being touched today because of your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You know, these end time events that we've been looking at, they are going to take place, whether you or I, you know, no matter what we do about it or try to do. But the thing is, we can all be prepared for them. Every single one can be prepared for them. And we know that God wants us to know about these events because they're written in Scripture. We looked at the Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. That's what we've been standing on throughout these Scriptures. These end time events are written into Scripture so that we know about them. You may have never heard a message about this before, but I tell you today, you're going to get some knowledge. You're going to come up higher in the things of God, in the Word of God, with what's going to be taking place. But you know, by knowing what's going to be happening in the future, that helps us to know how to live today, how to live our lives today. It's beneficial. It's helpful to all of us. And so in those last two messages in our series, we were looking at the opening of the seven seals in heaven. We were looking at the open of the seven seals. And I have a proposed timeline that we've been showing of things that are going to be happening. If you remember, we've talked about the rapture of the church. We've talked about the judgment seat of Christ. All these things are happening in heaven during this time. We've talked about the marriage of the Lamb. That took several teachings on that. Awesome, powerful teaching. And the last two times we looked at the opening of the seven seals. And so, we saw through the Apostle John's eyes, we're in the book of Revelation, we saw Jesus opening each of those seven seals in heaven on that scroll. And he was the only one who was worthy to be able to open up those seals. He's the only one. So as those seals were opened up in heaven, we were able to see the results of the effects on earth. So we started out this teaching by seeing what's happening in heaven, but now there's a little bit of a transition because what's going on in heaven is affecting what's happening here on earth, okay? And so could you bring up the picture of the seal judgments? These are just a quick review. We saw the first four seals opened up. Remember, that was the first four horsemen of the apocalypse. And so we learned about the things that are going to take place on earth when those seals are opened up. With the first seal, we saw that there's going to be a lot of deception, and false peace with that first rider. That first rider we believe to be the Antichrist. When the second seal was opened up, we learned about the great warfare that's going to be taking place on earth. The seal is opened in heaven. The warfare takes place on earth. With that third rider, we saw scarcity and famine on the earth. When the seal was opened up, scarcity and famine came with that third horseman. And then with the fourth rider, there was death by the sword, hunger, starvation, pestilence, and people were killed by wild animals, because the wild animals don't have food either. And so it won't be a good time, I can tell you that. And then with the fifth seal, our attention was turned from things happening on earth back up to heaven. And we saw through John's eyes the souls of those who were martyred for their faith in Christ. We saw the souls. And when that sixth seal was opened, we learned about the catastrophic events that would take place in heaven and on earth. There will be a great earthquake. Remember, look, we have never seen great earthquake. The sun's going to turn black. The moon is going to turn red. The stars will fall to earth. The mountains and the islands are going to be moved from their places. Is it cool in here, guys? I turned it up, but do you want it turned down a little bit? Where's Gary? You did. Okay, thank you. All right. Some people put their jackets on. I don't want to be too cold in here. Anyway, and so we learned at that time that the people who are left on earth become so fearful that they cry out to the mountains and to the rocks to fall on us. Fall on us. Hide us from God's wrath. Hide us. They run to the caves. They hide in the caves. You can't hide from God. You can't hide. So they're calling on rocks to fall on them. They're calling, kill us, so we can avoid the wrath of God. And I want to look at what Revelation 6:17 says. Revelation 6:17 says, "For the great day of his wrath has come." And who's able to stand in that time? Who's able? So there's a day coming when the wrath of God is going to be poured on the earth and all of mankind because of the sin of rebellion, the rebellion against God. That's what these judgments, that's what these are all about. It's all about the rebellion of man against God. You and I can't stop it, but we're to know about it, or otherwise those scriptures wouldn't be written into our Bible. And we can prepare for it. How do we prepare for it? We get our hearts right with God. I don't know what the number was last night, but a number of individuals got their heart right with God. They prepared. They don't even know what they're preparing for. They don't know all this, but they prepared for these times that are coming. They were preparing their heart, repenting of their sin, living their life holy, wholeheartedly for God. That's how we prepare our hearts. If you haven't done that yet, those who are listening within the sound of my voice, if you haven't repented of your sins and trusted in God as your Savior, Jesus Christ, I urge you to do that today. The seven seal judgments, we are told, are just the beginning of sorrows. And so the seven seals are the beginning of the judgments of God against all sin, all evil in the world, all the rebellion that's against him. Do you know that God is a just God? Yes. He's a loving God. We heard that over and over again last night at the Allentown Stadium. Over and over again. He's a loving God. He loves us. But you know, because he is a just God, he must judge sin. He must, or he wouldn't be who he is. He has to judge it. You know, God doesn't want anyone to suffer. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Ezekiel 33:11, God says this. He says, "As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." God says, turn, turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? That's God speaking. Turn, turn. He repeats himself, turn. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to die. But man rebelled against God. And that caused a separation, didn't it? We shared that with many people last night. Remember the scripture, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We shared that with many people last night. I can't wait to hear what the number is. But they did tell us that they normally don't hold an event with less than 400 people coming forth to receive Christ. So I will wait on that number, but it was awesome. It was awesome. But anyway, that's why God sent Jesus to this world, to die for our sins, to die for all the sins of mankind, so that no one would perish but have eternal life as we accept what Jesus did for us on the cross. God said, why should you die when you don't have to? I sent my son to pay for your sins. Why should you die? Accept him. He said, turn, turn from your evil ways. Turn. God tells us that over and over again in his word. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise of salvation, of eternal life, of Jesus coming back again. He's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's look at John 3:16, 17. It says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the gospel message, guys. That's what we shared last night. God wants everyone saved. He doesn't want anyone to perish. That's why he sent Jesus. That is the love of God. And you know what? That's the grace. That's the grace of God. He did his part. That's the grace of God. He sent Jesus. Our part is we're to believe and receive. Receive him. We're to receive him. These judgments that we see rolling out in the end times, they're God's judgment against all the evil, all the wickedness, all the rebellion that is on the earth because of people rejecting him. And those people who continue to rebel against God. Last time we ended up looking at the opening of the seventh seal in heaven, and we saw what happens after that. I want to look at that again, so we're going to bring us back up to date in case you weren't here last time. Revelation 8, 1 to 6. I have these scriptures up there. We're going to be looking at also some other scriptures as well, so you might want to keep your Bibles nearby. You know, this is Word of Life Church, and this is a teaching ministry. So if you need a textbook, the Bible, we have some extra ones on the back table. But I have these scriptures up here. Revelation 8, I'm going to read 1 through 6. This says, when Jesus opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. There was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And verse 4, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Karen, can you bring up the next slide, please? The seventh seal that Jesus opened up, this introduces us to the next seven judgments, the seven trumpet judgments that are coming next. And with each seal that's opened, each trumpet that is sound, the judgment of God becomes more and more severe. And so we just read in Revelation 8:1 that when that seventh seal was opened, all of heaven stands in silence. At this point, in this part of the tribulation period, all of heaven becomes silent. It's holding its breath. Why? When all of heaven gets quiet, it's because something very serious is about to happen. Heaven becomes silent at the power of God. You know, what we're looking at right now, this is the climax of God's judgment on sin. God's wrath is about to be poured out on this earth in a greater degree. This is a silence of foreboding. It's a silence of awe at what God is about to do. You know, as I'm studying this, if all of heaven get silent at the power of God, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? When all of heaven gets silent, how should we respond? Should we consider maybe how have we been living our life, even as Christians? How are we living our life? Have we spoken words that we're sorry we spoke to someone? Have we treated someone wrongly? How should we respond? Just a thought. So far we've looked at the seven seals, the seven seal judgments, but there are more judgments to come. According to the scriptures, there are going to be 21 judgments from God before Jesus returns, and we see the final judgment. This is a picture of the 21 judgments. There are seven seal judgments. The seventh seal judgment opens us up to the seven trumpet judgments. And then from the seven trumpet judgments, we go into the seven bowl judgments. With each judgment, it becomes more and more severe, what we see happening on the earth. Today, we're going to begin looking at the seven trumpet judgments. One thing that I want to remind you of, when we looked at that sixth seal, when Jesus opened that sixth seal in heaven, we saw how God raised up 144,000 evangelists during this tribulation period. And so they came from the 12 tribes, remember? And so even during that severe time of judgment, God still gives people a chance to repent and turn from their evil ways, even during this time. It's just incredible. That's the love and the grace of God, guys. That's what's going on there. And you know, he's still given people the chance to not perish, to accept him, to live. You know, I know that these teachings are very deep. I know they can be a little weighty, but I try to intermingle these messages with other speakers, like, you know, Nancy or Roger. This week we got Pastor Dave Farnholtz coming, so we're not just, you know, dropping it all on you in rapid succession. But God does want us to know what's coming. We're to know. And, you know, people keep telling me all the time, you know, Pastor Rhonda, there are a lot of other pastors preaching on end time events too. I don't have time to listen to other pastors, but I believe God's saying something here. And so I believe that we can know, you know, what's going to be happening and know what to do in our lives today to prepare for that. And I believe that what is coming, I don't believe it's very far away. I believe that's why God is speaking to pastors. And so anyway, with this seventh seal being open, these seven angels are standing in God's presence, and they're prepared to carry out God's orders, to sound that trumpet. They're waiting on God. And so they're ready to sound that trumpet as he directs. And with those seven trumpets are going to come seven more severe judgments than we saw in the seals, the seven seals. And so, but before we look at that first trumpet, I want to look at the other angel that we just read about a little while ago. And that angel came and stood at the altar of incense in heaven before the first trumpet sounded. Now, this angel is not one of the seven, okay? So we're going to look at that again. Revelation 8:3 says this. Then another angel, having a gold censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. So this is another angel. It's not one of those seven with the trumpets. But notice in that scripture, the angel offers incense and the prayers of the saints. Did you know that your prayers are heard? Your prayers don't fall on deaf ears. God hears them all. He even hears the ones that you don't speak out of your mouth, the ones you think in your head. He's omniscient. He's God. Anyway, so this angel is bringing the prayers of the saints before God. Revelation 8:4, let's look at that. It says, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. So God is hearing the prayers of the saints. Remember when we looked at that fifth seal that Jesus opened, and we saw the Christians who were martyred, those believers who were martyred for their faith in God. They wanted to see God put an end to all the evil and the rebellion against him. That was their prayer, you know? And so they said, how long, God? You know, how long? And so those prayers were heard. Those prayers and the prayers of all saints who pray for an end to the evil that we see going on. And so in scripture, we were singing about incense this morning. Thank you, Seth. I kind of threw a curveball to Seth a few days ago, but he was quick to catch that one. Thank you. And so incense is often associated with prayer. Incense. David prayed this in Psalm 141:2. Look at this. It says, David says, let my prayer be set before you as incense. Let my prayers rise up to you like incense. The Apostle John saw in his vision of heaven, as we saw this earlier in Revelation 5:8. Look at that. He saw the four living creatures, and he saw the 24 elders bowing before Jesus. This is the vision that John was given. Each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So the prayers of the saints are incense rising up to God. And then let's see what happens again. We're going to look at Revelation 8:5. This says this. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with the fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises and thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. A censer is a small, it's a metal pot, or it could be made of stone. It's used to hold hot coals. And it's usually attached by a metal chain. We have an example of a sensor here. So the angels were throwing a sensor full of fire to the earth. And so it indicated that God heard these prayers and he was acting in response to the prayers that came up before God. This altar of incense, this altar before the throne of God, it's associated with the altar of incense that was also placed in the portable tabernacle. Remember the tabernacle that God told Moses to build there in the wilderness. And then it's also it was later in the solid structure temple in Jerusalem. And so this incense altar in the tabernacle and then in the temple, that was where God dwelt. That was the Holy of Holies. And so that was the nearest thing to the heavenly Holy of Holies right here on earth. And so in that place, the priest would take hot coals from the altar, you know, where they sacrificed the animals and the blood would drip down. He took those hot coals two times a day, once in the morning and then again at twilight, and he would place those coals on the altar of incense in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle and in the temple. And that altar of incense is holy to the Lord. It's holy. And so the blood sacrifice that Jesus made for us, it atoned for man's sins, his blood. And so it's the blood of Jesus Christ that is applied to the altar of our hearts that allows our prayers to ascend, to be accepted by God. So our prayers are holy because of what Jesus did on that cross. He makes us holy. And our prayers are not unheard. They rise up to God, holy and acceptable, and he responds. And so it's the prayers of the martyrs and the saints that ascend before God here in this Revelation 8:4. He hears the praise of the sayers, of the saints, and the angel throws the censer down to earth, and there's noises and there's thunder, there's all kinds of stuff happening on earth. And the seven angels with the trumpets are prepared to sound. So we're going to look at that first angel trumpet, okay? Revelation 8:7 says this: the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees are burned up, and all green grass was burned up. So the first trumpet judgment against sin brings a plague on earth's vegetation. Heaven is raining down hail and fire and blood on the earth when that trumpet is blown. This is a judgment. It's against all the wickedness on earth. So one third of the trees, we learned, are burned, and all of the grasses are burned up. How do you think that would affect the earth and the people living on it? Oxygen would be depleted, for sure. Less food, for sure, right? And remember, there already was scarcity in those seal judgments. Remember that? The rider on the black horse, remember, that resulted in famine. The rider on the pale horse brought death on a quarter of the earth's population. These are real things that are going to be happening, guys. They're going to be happening. And so with each judgment, it gets worse and worse on earth for those who are living here. It is my prayer, and I believe that everyone who accepted Christ last night, everyone who has Jesus living inside them, I believe we will escape this. And we shared scripture previously in the messages that that do tend to lean towards that. But you know what? God knows the perfect timing on everything. Anyway, let's go to the second trumpet. Revelation 8, verses 8 and 9. God has these things in here because he wants us to know what's going to be happening. not to make you fearful, but to know what's going to be coming. Revelation 8, 8 and 9 says this, "Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed." So with each trumpet sound, the judgment escalates in severity. And the purpose for this is God's warning the people on earth. He's taken his time. He's giving them, there's a final judgment coming, guys. Turn away from your sin. So God wants everyone to turn away from evil and turn to him. In this judgment, this second trumpet, the seas of earth are affected. It said a great mountain burning with fire. It's thrown into the sea. It causes a third of the sea to turn to blood. One third of the sea creatures are to die. And one third of the ships are destroyed. It's been, speculated. This mountain of fire, it could indicate a meteor. It could, or possibly a nuclear bomb. It could be. Even though, we can't be certain exactly what that great mountain is, we can be sure that it's coming. It's coming. If all the prophecies about Jesus' first coming came to pass, and they have, we can be sure that all these prophecies about the end time events, they're going to be happening too. All right, let's look at the third trumpet. Let me get some water first. I nearly lost my voice last night. It was awesome. All right, the third trumpet is going to affect the freshwater supply, and it causes a lot of people to die. Revelation 8, verses 10 and 11. "Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is called Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter." So in this judgment, our fresh waters are polluted. One third of the waters turn bitter, and a lot of people die from that water. And that star, this scripture tells us that star is named Wormwood. It falls from heaven and it affects the earth. And I want to show you the Greek for wormwood. That word from wormwood is absinthos. Absinthos. It means wormwood. It means a type of bitterness or calamity. The Hebrew word for wormwood is used 7 times in the Old Testament. I want to look at that definition also. It gives us some clarity about this word. That Hebrew word is la'anah. La'anah. That means to curse. It means wormwood. It means regarded as poisonous and therefore accursed. Regarded as poisonous. So one third of the waters become poisonous when this third trumpet is sounded. Not a good time to be here on this earth. And I'm believing we won't be here. Then the fourth trumpet sounds. Revelation 8:12. "Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night." So a third of the stars, the planets, they turned dark with this fourth trumpet. And with these first four trumpet judgments, all things that are required for life are being affected. The earth, the vegetation, the seas, the water, the sky. Again, these judgments are the result of those who have rejected or who have rebelled against God. And so after that fourth trumpet is blown, there's a brief pause before those last three trumpets are sounded. Revelation 8:13 says this, "And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound.'" So this is, it's a pause in heaven before those last three trumpets come. And so the first four trumpets were against the earth. They were, you know, involving nature primarily. Now, I would anticipate at this time when this is all happening, I would anticipate that the fake news media at this point would be, they would be broadcasting that these are just natural disasters. I believe they're going to have scientists that are going to be able to back it up. And you know what? There's going to be people who are going to be gullible and believe it all. Just like we're seeing today. Just like we're seeing today, guys. You know, it's not far-fetched to think that people are going to believe what the fake news media is going to be telling them. We've seen it. You know, people still, even with all the information about the vaccines and the harm and the whole COVID everything, people are still, they still believe what they're being told. Anyway, a lot of terrible things will be happening at that time of the tribulation period. So the next three trumpet judgments, they will involve a lot of human suffering. We just learned in that verse ahead that these are called the woe judgments. Woe. Woe judgments. The Greek word for woe is the word oai. Oai. It means it's an exclamation of grief. It means alas, unhappiness, pity, concern. It means woe. Woe. So God is giving warning to the people on earth through these woe judgments, through all of them. These angels are pronouncing the three woes. He through all this, he continues to warn people so that they turn. It's the grace of God. I'm telling you, it's the love of God. And so he's still giving people a chance to repent. These next scriptures I want to look at are not on the screen. I'm going to ask you to get your Bibles. Get your textbook out. We're going to read them. Revelation, go to chapter 9. Revelation 9. I like to hear pages turning. You know, when I would go to math class, I had to take my math book. Yeah. When I would go to social studies, I had to take my social studies book. Yeah. Woo. This is Word of Life Church. You better bring the word. Yeah. Woo. Okay. All right. Revelation 9. Y'all there? Yeah. Okay. Revelation 9. I'm going to read verses 1 to 11. This is the fifth trumpet now. "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Verse 3, "Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Wow. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. Verse 7, the shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Do you see the seriousness of these judgments as these trumpets are rolling out? This is a serious judgment. There's a huge swarm of locusts that are released from the bottomless pit of hell to torment all of those who don't have God's seal. And so this torment, it's so great that people literally, they seek death. They want to die because of the torment being so terrible. But they cannot die. They want to die, but they cannot. Those locusts are being led by a demon called Apollyon, which means destroyer. Apollyon means destroyer. And then verse 12 says this. Revelation 9:12 says, one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. So we still have the sixth and the seventh trumpet. In your Bibles, we're going to continue reading in verse 13. Revelation 9:13 says this, then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. This is a severe end time judgment. This is an event that's happening. This is called the second woe. There are four demonic angels who are released to kill one third of all mankind that remains on the earth. Now, if you remember, back in the seal, in the fourth seal judgment, one fourth of that population at that time they were already killed. So this is now another third of what's remaining on earth, which brings it probably to like, I don't know, maybe 58% of the population being annihilated. And so these four demonic angels, they lead an army of 200 million. Some believe that these 200 million are demons. Others believe that they're literal physical army warriors. But whatever the case, the most amazing thing that I want you to see in this is found in verses 20 and 21. And I have those up on the screen, or you can follow along in your Bible. Revelation 9, 20 and 21. All that's happening... Let's see. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass, stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. In a few moments, we're going to be looking at those examples that are here, those examples of rebellion. But this is the interesting thing. After all that they're seeing happening on the earth, they refuse to repent and turn to a God who could save them. They're still refusing. My God. You have to ask yourself, how can they do that? How can they not turn to God who can save them? Remember back with Moses? Remember the Pharaoh? You know, Moses was trying to talk the Pharaoh into letting the Israelites go. You know, let my people go. Let them out of slavery. And so God brought upon the Egyptians the 10 plagues. Remember the horrible plagues. The Bible said, I heard someone, I think it was James, I heard someone say exactly why. The Bible says that Pharaoh had a hardened heart. A hardened heart. I don't have that up here, but you can see it in Exodus 4:21, Exodus 8:15, Exodus 9:7, Exodus 9:12, Exodus 9. He had a hardened heart. He refused to let those Israelites go, even after all those plagues. The plagues were the fresh water turning to blood. Did we read about that just a little bit earlier in today's message? So it happened then. It can happen now. All fish, you know, they all die. They can't drink the water. Another plague, the infiltration of the frogs, the infiltration of lice and the flies. Another plague was the livestock became diseased, all the horses, all the camels, the sheep. Another one, there were terrible sores and boils on those Egyptians. Hail plummeted them. Locusts, here we see locusts again. Darkness prevailed. And finally, the death of the firstborn of every family, including the Pharaoh's. You know, and then, so the Pharaoh finally leaves them go. You know, he lets the Israelites go after his son was taken. But then if you read in scripture, he reneges on that and he goes after them again to the demise of himself and his entire army. But the Bible says that he had a hardened heart toward God. What's a hardened heart? It's a rebellious heart. It's one that won't turn toward God, no matter what. It's a hardened heart. It's rebellious. It's one that is insensitive to sin, just continues to sin, continues to be wicked. One that is full of arrogance and full of pride. A hardened heart. One that is easily offended. That's a hardened heart. A hardened heart is an unbelieving heart. Doesn't believe what we're sharing here. Unbelieving heart. It's a heart that will not obey God. I want to look and see what the writer of Hebrews, how he warns us. Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13. This is the Amplified Version. I like the Amplified Version sometimes because it just kind of like amplifies what we're studying, right? And so this says, it tells us how to avoid a hardened heart here. Take care, pay attention, brothers and sisters, that there not be any one of you with a wicked, unbelieving heart which refuses to trust and rely on the Lord, a heart that turns away from the living God. But continually encourage one another every day as long as it is called today, and there is an opportunity, so that none of you will be hardened into settled rebellion by the deceitfulness of sin, its cleverness, delusive glamour, and sophistication. Does that give you an idea of what a hardened heart is? God reveals it to us in Scripture. So those scriptures that we looked at Revelation 9 and 21, it tells us that the people left on earth, they're going to continue to worship evil spirits. They're going to continue to worship demons. I said we'd come back to look at that. They're going to worship idols. They will continue in their rebellion against God. It said that they would not repent of their murders. And their sorceries, their sexual immorality. They would not repent of their thefts. Remember reading that just a few minutes ago? The reason they do it is because their hearts are hardened to God. That's the reason. Can our hearts be hardened to God, even as Christians? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we see things happening today. Over 60 million babies murdered in the womb in this country through abortion since 1973. You know, I was so happy to hear Franklin Graham last night speak the truth boldly. He spoke it. Hallelujah. If every pastor in their pulpit would be doing that. We got to tell the truth. And you know what? Every pastor is going to be standing alone before God. And we will have to answer for what we say and what we don't say. We have to answer. I have to answer. And I'm going to tell you the truth, guys. You know, I got to stand before God myself. And so over 60 million babies. Do you know there are Christians who support abortion? Churches. Yeah. There are Christians who will vote in leaders who support abortion and will fight for abortion to continue. And you know, if that isn't enough, there are states who are trying to pass bills to make it legal for the parents to kill that baby weeks after it's born. It is way sick. That's a hardened heart. That's a hardened heart that refuses to come in alignment with what God says. Yeah. And so, you know, we're seeing these hardened hearts today, guys. We're getting closer to these times that we're talking about. And so I don't know if anyone saw this video clip recently. I forget where I saw it, probably on Fox, the only news channel that I'll watch on television. But anyway, I saw a video clip there was a man who was handicapped, and he was driving. You know, I know several people in here. I think Nancy, where are you, Nancy? She's got one of those little electric carts, you know. And this guy was driving his electric cart, and he was crossing the road, you know, in an intersection. And he got to the other side of the road just fine. But there was a young man driving a truck coming down this lane. And this young man purposely drives out of his lane into the oncoming traffic lane and rolls over that guy. What callous heart, hardened hearts. I don't know if you saw that. I don't remember sure where. I'm not sure where I saw that, but I'm like, my God. My God. We're seeing this stuff, guys. Right before our eyes. You may remember the, you know, or maybe you've seen some of the mobs that go into some of the stores. They go in mobs and steal everything that they get their hands on. Well, we saw a lot of that going on, you know, with the riots of 2020. We saw the murders. We saw the looting, burning down of buildings. Man, peaceful. Oh my gosh. The sad thing is there were people who believed that because someone was on television saying that. And it wasn't even true. It was not true. As buildings were burning behind them and dead people are laying, and being plummeted with bricks that were strategically bought and placed in these areas. Why? Why is all this happening? It's a hardened heart, guys. It's a hardened, callous heart. It's a rebellious heart to God's word, to God. It's a rebellious heart to God. That their heart is set on something other than God. Do anyone remember reading about Hitler? There were people that aligned with Hitler. You know, Hitler was possessed by a demon and people submitted to him. I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard and read that churches would hear the trains coming by that were filled with people heading to the concentration camps, and they knew what was going to be happening, and they were silent, didn't do anything. I don't know if that's true or not, but seeing what I see today, I sure could believe that. I sure could believe it. You know, Hitler, he had an evil, murderous spirit. He wanted to annihilate the Jews. He wanted to annihilate people of color, skin. He wanted to annihilate anyone who was handicapped. That was an evil spirit. And people submitted to that. It happened then. And it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. God is warning us through his scripture. That's why he's got it in there, to tell us what's going to be happening. And during these end times that we're looking at, there's going to be an increase in murder. The Antichrist and his followers, they're going to promote the slaughter of believers in Jesus, because they won't worship the Antichrist. We need to be aware of that. We need to know. We need to share these things with our family members so they know. If they're not receiving Jesus here, at least let them know that that they will have an opportunity. Just know what's going on. Many people are going to lose their life during the tribulation. You know, if you remember studying during those seals, that there will be people will turn their hearts to God during the tribulation. There will be a revival during that time, but they'll pay a high price. The scripture that we looked at said that they'll be beheaded. They'll be beheaded, but that's okay. That's okay. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, right? Right. It's important to have the heart right. It's important. There will be, we read in the scriptures, there'll be an increase in sorcery and sexual immorality. That word for sorcery it's found in verse 21. That Greek word is the word pharmakia. Pharmakia. This is where we get our word pharmacy from, right? Pharmakia means medication, magic, sorcery, witchcraft. Pharmakia. So sorcery includes all kinds of witchcraft. Seances, palm reading, fortune telling, astrology. It includes the use of drugs, legal and illegal, and evil spirits that gain the control of the lives of the people. It's people giving control of their lives to something other than God. And so the use of drugs, it tells us the use of drugs will be increased. You know, we see a great number of people dying from drugs. Look into drugs, you know, for whatever reason. We see deaths from overdoses. We see deaths from the fentanyl, you know, that's coming across. It's because it's a focus on something other than God. That will increase in the last days. Along with that will be increased sexual immorality, the scripture said. So we see it today. The Greek word used for sexual immorality there in that verse that we looked at, verse 21, was the word porneia. Porneia. Porneia means harlotry. It means adultery. It means incest. It means idolatry. It means fornication. That's where we get our English word porn or pornography. That's where we get our English word. I know that's a broad term, but it includes all kinds of sexual immorality. It includes premarital sex. It includes adultery. It includes incest. It includes abnormal sex. It includes homosexuality. It includes lesbianism, any form of sodomy, pedophilia, prostitution. You know, we see so much of that being accepted today. It's being accepted. And God said that these things will be prevalent in the last days. Church, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. Yeah, it was just, I have to commend Franklin Graham for speaking out boldly about all this stuff last night. And so these are the things, you know, these things are not listed in Scripture to make us fearful. We're not to be fearful. They're in there for us to know about them and to know how to live our lives now. We can see the gradual decay in our nation and the movement that is going towards where it's going. And you know what, actually, I don't know about you, but I kind of think it's speeded up. Things have speeded up. God reveals these things to us to let us know all that's coming. And he's giving the people here warnings to let them know that it's coming. He is a just God, and he has to judge sin. He doesn't want anyone to perish. We've seen that in Scripture over and over again, and we shared that last night with many, many of those who responded. He's also omniscient, and he knows all that won't receive him. He knows those. But he does give everyone the opportunity. He gives everybody the opportunity to turn. As I said in the beginning of this study, I said that these end time prophetic events, they impress upon my heart the seriousness of this message series. And all that we see happening around us, it tells me that we're a whole lot closer to seeing those end time events take place around the second coming of Jesus. And they will happen. These will happen just as God has revealed them to us. But I want to end this message with good news. And I got three words for you. God loves you. God loves you, guys. He loves you. Woo! You know what? For the child of God who's received Jesus into their heart, what do we have? Everlasting life, eternal life, right? If we've committed our hearts to him, if we've accepted Jesus' payment, we're not going to have to be too concerned about all this stuff that's going to be happening. God wants us to know about it. He wants us to know what's happening. But there is no need to fear. You don't have to be afraid. If you're a child of God, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's what Scripture tells me. You're sealed. You're sealed. And you know, whether we're raptured out of here and experience none of this, or if we're left here to see some of it or whatever, we just have to trust God through it all. Trust him. You know, going through this study of these end time events and seeing what's coming, it just has impressed upon me how awesome our salvation is. Your salvation is precious, guys. That's what will save you out of all this. Your salvation. And it helps us, knowing what's coming, to seek God and say, you know, God, am I living my life right for you? Am I living a holy life now? Because you know what? He could return at any time. Our scripture from last week, Matthew 25:13 says this. It says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We don't know when that is. You know, right now we're between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. And so there's a pause here in Scripture. So we're going to take a pause, and we're going to save that seventh one for next week. But I've asked Seth to come forward to lead us in the Revelation song. Woo! They sang it last night. Woo! And so after that song is completed, I'm going to invite you to pray. So we're going to go ahead and sing, if you would, Seth. Thank you. The
days and days to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Yeah, and holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was in days to come. Yeah, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything and I will adore you. With wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. And days to come. Yeah, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was in days to come. Yeah, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything and I will adore you. At the mention of your name.